भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नारं चरणरुत्तमा देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नाष्टप्रेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवत्युत्तमाश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 21, verse number 36. This is chapter is entitled Instructions by Maharaj Prithu. I thought this will be appropriate for our theme of leadership, spiritual leadership. Aho mamami vitarantyanugraha Aho mamami vitarantyanugraha Harim Gurum Yajna Bhujam Madhishwara Harim Gurum Yajna Bhujam Madhishwara Swadharma Yogena Yajanti Mamaka Swadharma Yogena Yajanti Mamaka Nirantaram Kshonitale Dridhavrata Nirantaram Kshonitale Dridhavrata
Thank you.
Distributing anugraham. What means anugraham? Mercy. Harim. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Gurum. The Supreme Spiritual Master, Yajna Bhujam, all the demigods eligible to accept Yajna offerings, Adishwaram, the Supreme Master, Swadharma, occupational duties, Yogena, by dint of yajanti worship mamata, having a relationship with me, nirantaram, incessantly, shonitale, on the surface of the globe, Dridhavrata, with firm determination. Translation and purport by Its Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master and enjoyer of the results of all sacrifices, and he is the Supreme Spiritual Master as well. All of you citizens on the surface of the globe who have a relationship with me and are worshiping him by dint of your occupational duties are bestowing your mercy upon me. Therefore, O my citizens, I thank you. Shall we recite this together? Why not? The Supreme Personality of Godhead
is the master and enjoyer
of the results of all sacrifices. And he is the Supreme Spiritual Master as well. All of you citizens on the surface of the globe who have a relationship with me and are worshiping him by dint of your occupational duties are bestowing your mercy upon me. Therefore, O my citizens, I thank you. Purport. Maharaj Prithu's advice to his citizens is to take to devotional service. No.
Maharaj Prithu's advice to his citizens to take to devotional service is now concluded in two ways. He has repeatedly advised persons who are neophytes to engage themselves in devotional service according to the capacities of the different orders of social and spiritual life. But here he specifically thanks those already engaged in such devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is actually the enjoyer of all sacrificial ceremonies, and who is also the Supreme Teacher as Antaryami or Paramatma. There is a specific mention of the word Gurum, which indicates the Supreme Personality as Chaitya Guru. The Supreme Godhead in his Paramatma feature is present in everyone's heart, and he is always trying to induce the individual soul to surrender unto him and to engage in devotional service. Therefore, he is the original spiritual master. He manifests himself as spiritual master both internally and externally to help the conditioned soul both ways. Therefore, he has been mentioned herein as Gurum. It appears, however, that in the time of Maharaj Prithu, all the people on the surface of the globe were his subjects. Most of them, in fact, almost all of them, were engaged in devotional service. Therefore, he thanked them in a humble way for engaging in devotional service and thus bestowing their mercy upon him. In other words, in a state where the citizens and the head of state are engaged in devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they help one another and are mutually benefited. So ends Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnanjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtabitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Tadati Svapadantitam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Manchakapatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. It is with some trepidation that I sit here with all of you exalted Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis present, so I beg your blessings that I may say something that will be enlivening and illuminating. Prithu Maharaj, King of the Earth, is giving instructions. He has been teaching his subjects. I sometimes wonder how he manages this without internet. Perhaps people's ability to listen was so much better than it is today. In any case, somehow he was able to communicate with his vast kingdom, his subjects. And as Srila Prabhupada says, this verse is coming to the conclusion of his instruction. And in this particular verse, he is expressing gratitude. Gratitude is the theme I want to focus on as we speak about leadership, specifically spiritual leadership, I would suggest that gratitude is foundational to our individual, personal progress in spiritual life. And it is also foundational collectively to our progress of, as the phrase we're using, pushing on this movement cooperatively. I was just fortunate a few days ago to participate in a smaller seminar called Leadership, Spiritual Leadership Seminar. And this is something that's been prepared over some years and has been presented by our Anuttama Prabhu and His Holiness Prahladananda Swami very expertly and very inspiringly. So I want to share with you, I want to address all devotees, but especially those who are participating in this ISKCON Leadership Conference, a little bit of what I learned in this seminar. We learned that there are principles of leadership which are useful to keep in mind as we practice leadership. There are 12 of these which have been divided into three categories, and I'm not going to go through all of these, but the three categories, I think, are interesting. The first of these is vision. So Prithu Maharaj is giving vision to his followers, to the citizens of the world. He's especially emphasizing Varnashrama Dharma, but interestingly in this verse it says Svadharma Yogena. And more than one commentator explains that Svadharma in this context means bhakti, that by bhakti they are offering yajanti worship. Vision is what we receive from ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Acharyas in the line of disciplic succession. For this vision, we are grateful. Some months ago, I had the good fortune to get some new glasses from an optician who is a devotee. And he took me to his office and put me through the eye examinations. And I've had this done, you know, so many times before in so many years as my eyesight gradually, you know, dwindles as the body dwindles. But this optician spent a very long time examining my eyes. I don't know how long it was. It seemed like at least an hour. With lots of different machines and most importantly, very careful questioning. I reflected on this exercise after getting the glasses. These are the glasses. They're the best glasses I ever had. They're fantastic glasses. I can really see sharply. It's so nice. So in the examination process, he's putting on different, you know, test lenses and asking, can you see clearly now? Is this better? Is this worse? So there is a back and forth exchange. Similarly, the spiritual master asks us, inquires how we are doing and what is it that we need so that we can get the necessary adjustments so that we can engage nicely in devotional service. Well, this gets a little bit ahead of what I want to say, so I'm going to back up before I get to that point of facilitation. The next, first is vision, and then when we have vision, which may need some adjustment, we may need to sometimes ask ourselves, am I getting the vision sharply? Is it in sharp focus? Circumstances change. Our experiences change. Our needs change over time. And as a result, the vision could get a little blurry. Or we might lose it altogether. And so we need to keep coming back to check, am I getting the vision? And when we have the vision, then we can experience the next principle, and that is inspiration. Inspiration has the acharyas of our spiritual leadership seminar have worked out four subcategories, one of which is being balanced and exemplary in one's lifestyle. The word balance, I was discussing with some devotees last night, makes me think of trapeze artist. Not trapeze, sorry. Tightrope, yes, tightrope. So when you walk, do we have any tightrope artists here? But you have seen tightrope artists. What do they do? How do they walk the tightrope? They have a long rod. And what does this rod do? It helps to balance, right? So what is the rod in our case, in this analogy? What is our rod for balancing on this tightrope of material existence?
Sadhana.
Sadhana, okay. Mahamantra, which is part of sadhana, right? Instructions, right? Sadhu Sangha, which is part of sadhana. Sorry? Good habits, yes.
Guru.
Guru, all of the above, yes. All that you have said, this is the balancing rod. So we need to balance ourselves, to keep ourselves balanced. As we progress, as we go along in our spiritual lives, as leaders, so that we can imbibe others with inspiration. So that first of all, we can be inspired, and so that we can give inspiration to others. Now, when someone has become inspired, they say, yes, I've got a vision. Yes, I have inspiration. Now what do I do? The third principle is facilitation. And as Anuttama Prabhu pointed out, the word facilitation comes from, in French, the word facile. What means facile? Easy, yes. So to facilitate is to make it easy. Srila Prabhupada, how many times he said, this process is so easy. Simply chant Hare Krishna, what is the difficulty? And we want to say, Prabhupada, there is so much difficulty. If you only knew. Huh? But actually, from the position of clear vision, then there is no difficulty because one understands how to facilitate the practice and the leading of Krishna consciousness. And part of the practice of facilitation is being reflective and being self-aware. Stepping back and thinking, reflecting for oneself. And this means being self-critical. Now, I don't know about you, but I am a card-carrying member of the fault-finding club. Actually, I'm an honorary member. I'm embarrassed to say. But I am trying to learn to overcome this habit. And one thing I find, Shri Radha Madhava Ki Jai, one thing I find is that if I am self-critical, then there's no more steam left to be critical of others. Because there's plenty of work for me to do on myself. So this is part of facilitation. And you may wonder, well, how do these two relate? It's about humility, isn't it? We facilitate for ourselves the chanting of Hare Krishna purely so that we enable others to do the same. But there's another dimension to this self-critique, and that is what I would call collective self-critique. And I would suggest this is one of the things that we do when we come together, especially in this sangha, the leadership sangha. We look at ourselves, we give a hard look at ourselves, a critical look at ourselves, collectively. And we see, how are we doing? How can we improve? Where are we going? Are we following the vision? And if not, how do we correct ourselves so that we are indeed following the condition, the vision? Srila Prabhupada told us that the perfection of the vision is to see Krishna face to face. And we could see that Srila Prabhupada was seeing Krishna face to face. I was so fortunate to be present when Srila Prabhupada made his last visit to have the darshan of Sri Sri Radha Landanishvara in 1977. He was preparing to leave the world, and this was very clear. He was in Bhaktivedanta Manor, but he wanted to go to have darshan of Radha Landanishvara. And some of us found out that Prabhupada was going, so we jumped in cars and went in to see. And it was just so touching because Srila Prabhupada had all the time that he had stayed in the manor whenever we would see him because his eyes had become very sensitive to light. He was keeping on dark glasses. But when he went to Soho Street Temple in London, he came in. Bury Place, was it still Bury Place? Okay, in Bury Place, thank you. When he came to Bury Place, he came in the temple and he took off his sunglasses to have direct darshan with Sri Sri Radha Vandaneshwara is, as he said himself, isn't it, favorite deities. So we go from vision to inspiration to facilitation, and we go back to vision. And in this way we keep going around, and by this circulating process, then we put ourselves in position of being proper leaders. But the basis of being a leader is to be grateful. Srila Prabhupada expressed his gratitude again and again and again to his followers, and I'll just read a couple very brief excerpts from letters and end in this way. A letter to Nandarani from 1968. I am very much pleased with your preaching enthusiasm when you say, quote, if people won't come to us here, we will go to them, unquote. And this is the process of preaching, and this is required. I thank you very much for this spirit. Just like I have come to your country with the same spirit. So here, Srila Prabhupada is thanking his disciple for her spirit. He wrote to Garga Muni in 1969, your humble repentance is just like a Vaishnava student. So I thank you very much for this humbleness. Lord Chaitanya taught us to be humbler than the grass on the street and more tolerant than a tree. So these symptoms are Vaishnava symptoms. There is no question of rejection or dejection. I am always at your service, and you can question whenever there is any doubt, and I will try to answer them as far as possible. Here Srila Prabhupada is appreciating the humility of his disciple, and he's offering him help. He says, whenever you need some guidance, whenever you have some doubt, I am there. So that's very nice. At the end of this verse that we read today, it says, Prithu Maharaj says, therefore, O my citizens, I thank you. Now, if you look carefully in the Sanskrit of this verse, nowhere does it say, therefore, O my citizens, I thank you. So I wondered about this. And I looked at some of the commentaries, and I didn't find anything in the commentaries. Often Srila Prabhupada would weave, so to speak, commentary into his translation. And then I realized this is a case where Srila Prabhupada is responding to inspiration from Krishna. And this is our conviction as we read Srila Prabhupada's books. As Hari Sori Prabhu explained in one lecture, Srila Prabhupada was receiving his two sources for his writing of Srimad Bhagavatam were the commentaries of previous acharyas and his inspiration that he received directly from Krishna. So with this, you might say, transcendental addition, we understand what is actually going on here, that he is, that Prithu is thanking his followers, his supporters. So that's something that I would suggest that we want to keep in mind as we go about our duties, acting as little tiny Ishvaras in service of the Supreme Adishvara. Krantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Thank you for your attention. If there's any comment or correction or question,
Krishna Kshetra Prabhu, your last comment about Prabhupada's inspiration, how he weaves that into his translation, since your service has been, and perhaps, I don't know, but continues to be teaching in the academic world, is that explainable to scholars, or is that something only the devotees can really understand? Or maybe it's both, huh?
Or both. Depends who you're speaking with.
Yeah.
There are many scholars who have a lot of appreciation, a lot of sympathy, and it's very easy for them to understand. There are others who, whatever you say, they won't understand in this life. The spirit of Srila Prabhupada in his translation has been appreciated, and that's been spoken of by many scholars, going back to A.L. Basham, I believe, and others. And some who will be, in a certain sense, critical, they're not inimical. They just want to see that what they understand to be scholarship is somehow upheld. So, for example, one scholar I know in Germany was concerned about Srila Prabhupada's use of the word Vedic. Prabhupada uses it in a variety of ways. So he wrote an article in which he analyzed, he spent the time, he studied Srila Prabhupada's books, and he analyzed that, oh, he uses the word in three different ways. In a narrower sense, in a kind of medium sense, and a more broad sense. Okay, actually, that's useful. We can use that scholarship. We can use it. It's appreciable.
So is even on in their terms, in the say the secular scholarly world, is there something where if someone knows Siddhanta, then they're allowed to do that? They know where Krishna's going with it, so they're allowed to weave. I mean, even in their terms. Is that like Krishna says, Vaidashya Sarvai Rahameva Vedyo, therefore Prabhupada's knowing that in his Gita translations, he's saying things in verses, as you're pointing out, that's not necessarily literally there. Is that okay by their standards even?
Again, it depends who you speak to. It depends on what type of scholar. A textual scholar is likely to say, well, that's stretching things. An anthropologist who's studying our tradition will say, hey, that's part of the tradition. That's thoroughly Puranic. That's what you do with Purana. You recite it with your realization. So, what's the difficulty?
Thank you.
Shashata Prabhu, the words Yagya Bhujam in the verse mean all the demigods eligible to accept Yagya offerings. That part disappears from the verse. That's not in the verse. Could you comment on that?
Touch of it, Prabhu has just pointed out there's a word or a compound in the verse, Yagya Bhujam, which doesn't appear in Srila Prabhupada's translation. Sometimes that also happens. In this case, Yagya Bhujam, Bhuja means arms, so the arms of Yagya, which then, what are the arms? The arms are the demigods. You know? So, apparently Srila Prabhupada didn't feel that was essential to translate this verse. It would take me a minute or five to think about that. Yes. Any ladies? Yes.
Who came up with the idea that that only the Shruti are the Vedas and the Smriti are not the Vedas. Isn't that basically a Western idea? Is that according to our tradition?
Who came up with the idea that only the Shruti are the Vedas and Smriti are not the Vedas?
Smriti, Purana is not Veda. To my knowledge, that is not a Western idea. The idea of Orthodox Brahmins, which is one component of our wider tradition, is that Veda means the Vedic Samhita, Rig Samaya Jura Dharva, the Brahmanas, each of which are associated with one of those Samhitas, the Aranyaka, each one associated, and Upanishad. However, our acharyas are very concerned to include Purana as Veda. And in fact, there's an interesting kind of reversal that happens. Scholars have even noticed this, that the Srimad Bhagavatam in what they call the pre-modern period became that which gives authority to other scriptures rather than the other way around. So the Srimad Bhagavatam over time became accepted as actually the central text. So Nigama Kalpataro Galitam Palam Shukamukad Amitadrava Samyutam is very relevant. The Nigama, the Veda, the ripened fruit of the tree of the Veda, that is the Bhagavatam. And that came to be recognized. But the Orthodox Brahmins, the Smartas, they may not accept. Although they are Smarta, which means they follow Smriti. Very complicated. So, one last question. That's, yes.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your wonderful class. You spoke about the importance of being self-critical. Could you speak a little bit about the art of introspection and how we can actually go within and understand how to be self-critical?
The art of introspection. That's a whole lecture, if not a seminar in itself. yes, that's something. Huh? One sutra. One sutra. Don't assume that everything is all right. Assume rather the opposite, that there is danger lurking, and one must be attentive. Yes. That's my sutra. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.